Tonight, if you would, I want you to return to the most familiar passage in the Old Testament. Can anybody tell me what that is? Psalms 23. Most familiar passage, I guess. Most quoted passage. I could have said that maybe in the Old Testament. If I'd have said the book of Psalms, that would have been real easy. So I said the whole Old Testament. Most familiar. And sometimes very many times quoted at different times in our lives. Psalm number 23, and a very important psalm that helps us to have comfort in our life. And whether living or in death, this psalm gives much life. So let's read these verses. We'll not do all of them tonight, but maybe just I think verse 1 and 2. And we may do a few messages down through here on this particular psalm. Psalm number 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Here we find in these six verses words that have been given down through the centuries, the ages, at different times. David wrote these words some probably 3,000 years ago. And David's bones are gone to dust, but his verses are still here. The harp that he played is gone, and the songs that he sung, many of them are recorded in the book of Psalms. The staff that he carried is not found. All the artifacts of David, I'm sure, are gone. The sling that killed Goliath, wouldn't that be an interesting discovery to find some of those things that was used in the work of the Lord and doing those things? But those things are all lost forever, and we would not know about those unless we have the Word of God. God's Word is a history book that's pure and clear and given to us, and the words that were written on parchment have long since disappeared. But God has preserved unto us His Word. And in this book that we call the Bible, this book that we have before us that has been translated time and time again, and again, another good history study to do is how we ended up getting the Bible that we carry from the time of John Wycliffe until King James and some of the different Bibles that were translated. You had the Great Bible. You had it's called Great because it was great big. That was why it had that name. You have some of the different translations and they were all pure and good. And then we have this one that is given to us. It's the Authorized. And so we find that the quill and the ink and all those things are gone, and the parchments, there are no originals. I don't believe there are any original writings preserved because of the centuries and the destruction of time upon the parchments and the papyrus and all those things that are just destroyed. But God has preserved His Word. And the Bible tells us that He has purified it seven times over. And so we can have the message tonight, even though we do not have original. But if you have a copy of something and it's what the original was, then you've got just as good as the original, as long as you don't interfere and deteriorate some of those things that are given. And even the throne that David sat upon, the greatest king that Israel ever had, that throne is no longer in existence, and his crown has been lost and his house is forever forgotten. But we have the words before us tonight, "The Lord is my shepherd." All of those things have collapsed into dust. But this psalm and these others that David gives to us is a message that is for us. It's a message that continues to comfort. It's a message that is in tune with whatever time of life that we live in. Psalm number 23 was just as precious in 1850 as it was 1950, and it is in 2017. Doesn't matter what period of time we live in, the Word of God is alive and well, and time does not destroy the meaning of it. And the dust may be collected on a lot of things, but it's not collected on the Word of God if we'll use it correctly and use it right. There's nothing stale, there's nothing musty about the Word of God. I'm glad tonight I have a copy of God's Word. I'm glad I have something that I can go by, something I can rejoice in, something that I can live by, something that will give me direction in life. We still read this psalm tonight. After 3,000 years, we read this psalm to great profit. How many times we have experienced or heard someone read that at the bedside of someone that was sick, because it gives comfort. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How many times we've read it and had that at the graveside of our dead, because the Bible says that we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so this one particular little psalm of six verses covers us from birth to death and on into eternity. And it's given to us for the betterment of the child of God. This psalm was quoted by the pilgrims as they came across on the Mayflower. Saints, we quoted at death, and scores recited before surgeries, and countless numbers quoted before even falling asleep at night. So it's a psalm that has become very close to the child of God, very close to the individual that knows the Lord is his shepherd. And I believe the key to this psalm is the very first words of that, because that's what makes everything else work correctly. The Lord is my shepherd. We could take that one little phrase, and we're going a little farther than that tonight, but we'll look at it. We can take that one little phrase and read it with different emphasis, and it has a lot of different meanings. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm glad we have a Lord in heaven. I'm glad we have a Master that takes care of us, and He is that one that is the director of our life. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm glad He's a personal God. I'm glad He knows me by name, and I'm glad He knows where I am, and He knows everything about me. So He is my shepherd, and that shepherd is the work of the Lord in our life as a believer. If the best-known verse in the Bible, if I said that tonight, you'd probably say John 3:16, for that is the probably most quoted verse of all the Scripture, probably the best-known verse, probably the most-known verse of all the Word of God. And if that is the best-known verse, this certainly is the best-known chapter of all the Word of God. And so tonight, I want us to just look a little bit at these, probably the first two verses of this psalm, and just rejoice in what it tells us concerning who the Lord is. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. What a wonderful thought that is, that He guides us, He leads us, and He protects us. The very first phrase, the Lord is my shepherd, that's a phrase that makes us know that if the Lord is going to be our shepherd, first of all, He must be our Savior. And tonight we are gathered here in this building, and we've come together as God's people. He is our shepherd. He is our Lord. He is our Master. And more importantly than all those things, He is my Savior. He is the one that's delivered me from sin and death and destruction. He is the one that has given us life out of death and brought us to life out of to life out of nothingness. And in the book of John, chapter number 10, you'll find the Lord uses that little word "my" over and over again. But He's talking not about Him being the shepherd, but He's talking about us being His sheep. He says "my sheep" over and over again in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. And He goes, and we have even have a song in our songbook, "My sheep know my voice." Tonight we know His voice, and we can follow after Him because He's our Lord. He's our Savior. Not everyone is a sheep. Not everyone that even claims the Lord Jesus Christ is really in that fold of being a sheep. Some of them are nothing more than goats. They just pretend to be. But here tonight we find David is talking about the Lord is my shepherd. And He is something that belongs to me and I can relate to Him. For those, I'm glad tonight we can say that we know the Lord and we have found Him not only in life, but we find Him in the walk of life. And when it comes time for us to leave, He's our shepherd. And He directs us and He gives us guidance and gives us help in those hard times. Jesus said in John chapter number 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. Thank God tonight He's the good shepherd. He's good to us. He's good for us. And He says, the good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. He's not just a shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He'll lay down His life. And He did lay down His life there upon Calvary. And He became our Savior. He became that one that would give us life eternal. And so Jesus said, I'm a good shepherd. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And He is that one that is there that has laid down His life and He lay it down for His sheep. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 40 and verse number 11, it says, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. I have a couple of books. I think they're out here by the water fountain. I think both of them. I know one of them is about the Lord being our shepherd. And I've just got them out there as decoration and display. But they're good books concerning how the Lord is a shepherd, how that He did the work of a shepherd that was in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, how they kept the sheep and they kept them for protection and kept them in the sheepfold. And the Lord uses that on different occasions to relate to His disciples what He really was to them. And He tells them that He is that good shepherd. Isaiah 40:11, where I started a moment ago, says, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. And so here we find the picture that Isaiah gives to us, that there's a person out in front leading us and directing us, and if we need to be picked up in His arms, He'll do that. He'll lead us in paths of righteousness, He tells us. And the Bible says that He will pick up the lambs with His arms and carry them in His bosom and gently lead those that are young. There are many scriptures, there are many passages in the Bible relating that God, the Lord, Jesus Christ is our shepherd. Probably Psalm 23 is the best known. The Lord is my shepherd. And He gives the activities of this shepherd and the results of that, of what He does for His sheep. God created sheep maybe just to relate to us so that we could understand how the Lord looks at us and how He knows the needs that we have. One of the most needy animals of all the world that has to have protection is a sheep. They cannot defend themselves. They will not go together anywhere. They will just be scattered. And the Lord uses that many times in the New Testament, that the wolf comes in to scatter the sheep if there's no shepherd. When the shepherd is present, He knows how to take care of the wolf. And I'm glad tonight Jesus knows how to take care of the devil. He knows how to take care of the wolf that's at the door. He knows how to destroy his effectiveness in our life. And so when God created the sheep, He did that maybe just to remind us of what we are, how that the sheep has features that you and I have, one of which is a sense of direction. A sheep without a leader, a herd of sheep without a leader, they never go the same direction. They just go where they want to go. They have no sense of direction. They have no sense of unity at all. They must have that man that is their shepherd. They must have that one that will take them to the water and take them to the food and take them to the place of protection. And if he doesn't lead them there, they're not going to go. If he doesn't take them where the food is, they'll starve to death. If he doesn't take them to where the water is, they'll die of thirst because they don't have enough understanding, they don't have enough sense to find it by themselves. And so before we think too highly of ourselves, just remember the Lord says we are his sheep. That means we got to have him to take us to feed, take us to water, take us to help, protection, because we cannot do it ourselves. And if we're left to ourselves, we'll all be scattered and go a different direction without any idea of what's taking place. And so the Lord is the one that gives us that sense of direction and that sense of help. The Lord is my shepherd. He is that one that is there for us. And he's the one that has come to us. And by the way, a sheep, and you all heard this, I've said it many times, others have said it, but you're not going to get behind a herd of sheep and drive them anywhere. If you do, they scatter every direction. The only way they'll stay together and the only way they'll go the same place as you want them to go is that shepherd has to get out in front of them and lead them every step of the way. Because they just don't have enough sense to do it on their own. They just don't have enough understanding. They are really, when we talk about dumb animals, a sheep's pretty dumb. They can't eat unless somebody shows it to them. They can't drink unless somebody gives it to them. They can't protect themselves. They can't even find protection to hide in without somebody, a shepherd, doing that for them. I'm glad the Lord is my shepherd. David understood how senseless we are sometimes. As the king of Israel, he understood the people that was under him as far as his kingdom was concerned. They were like sheep, and they had to have a leader, and David was a good leader most of his life. But David understood that really the main shepherd was not him, but the main shepherd was the Lord. And so we may be called dumb, but we've got a shepherd that's pretty smart. We may be called lacking in a lot of areas, but we have one that can help us and give us direction and give us those things that we must have in our life. So the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord there, he is, that's Jehovah God. That's our God that we honor. He's my shepherd. Personally, he is mine. I'm glad I'm not the only one. He's your shepherd also. And so every one of us, we have a personal relationship with the Lord because he is that shepherd that guides and directs us. And so as we are in this world and as we're serving God, as we're doing the work God gives to us, it doesn't matter if we have a PhD, God says we're nothing more than just a shepherd that just can't take care of ourselves. We just have no ability to do that. And so therefore, the reason I don't have any problem tonight and you don't have any problem tonight, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means I shall not have need of things that are that must be in my life. Our children sometimes, they say, I need this, I want this. We want all the time. Our children want things. Somebody is in the store, I guess I was in Walmart. I think that's my second home, especially since it got so close. Yeah, I don't go that direction anymore. I go down this direction because it's closer. Things I used to go to Madisonville for, I can get them at Walmart 2 miles down the road. But I was listening to a lady the other day, and her little, I think it's a little girl, and they's going down the aisle, and she's in the wrong aisle. She's in that toy aisle. is after Christmas, and she said, "Mommy, I want that." She said, "You got one just about like that at home, but I want that." And she'd go a little further and she said, "I want that too." And on and on and on had all kind of wants. And I begin to think, it's not only children that say that. It's adults that say that also. We see things, we look at the things around us, and we begin to list our wants. Whether they're children that sometimes wants toys and candy and money, and that never ends, by the way. They always want money. It doesn't matter if they're a child or if they're teenagers that want the key to a car or maybe get a different car because you hit a deer and all that stuff. And I told Brother Chris the other day, I said, I know we'll probably help Amy and Cliff get James a car, and I've already got my eyes out looking because I know there's a want there. There's a desire there, and that's something that we try to help fulfill. And so it doesn't matter what age group we find ourselves in, we all find ourselves wanting something. Now, it may be different. I don't want the same thing these school children do around here. Well, some of them, they're pretty sophisticated in some of their wants. They'd be okay. Some of them got more than I got in some areas of the electronics and all that. But we all have different wants. If we're children, if we're teenagers, if we're young adults, if we're middle-aged, or if we're in the latter years of life, we have things that we desire and things that we want. And David said, "With the Lord being my shepherd, I don't have any wants that cannot be supplied by the Lord." And so we find here that David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What's some of the things we want tonight? What's some of the things we desire? I think every person, they want to be successful. Most people want to be liked by other folks. The way some people act, I'm not sure they really want that. But most people want to be liked by other folks of their peers. Sometimes we want a different way of life. Sometimes we want to lose weight. We won't stay on there very long. We want a different car. We just want all the time. And that's not necessarily what David is saying here. David's not saying the Lord's going to give us every want that we have in that aspect. But the word want in Psalm number 23 is in the context of that word meaning my necessity. I shall not want. I shall not lack the necessities of my life. God's going to give me that because I'm His sheep. The shepherd leads his sheep to the pasture. The shepherd leads his sheep to the water. The shepherd leads his sheep to the sheepfold for the night's rest. The shepherd does all of, and those are the necessities that the sheep has to have. And tonight we have a good shepherd. He's not just a shepherd, he's a good shepherd. Later on he's called the great shepherd that comes back for us. And he's going to deliver us one day into safety and security. And this word want comes out of not having lack of necessity of life. I read this verse this morning, or maybe a portion of it. I guess I read all of it. Psalm 34, verse 9 and 10. It fits here also. It says, "O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." That means they're not going to lack. That means God's going to supply our need. God's going to supply the very needs and the necessities of life that we have, and He is able to do that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, very familiar verse in the New Testament, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I heard the story one time of an older man that he stood up and gave testimony. He said, "I'm 85 years old. My wife is dead and gone, and so are my children. I have nothing but Christ left," and he sat down. But after a moment, he stood back up and he said, "Christ is all that I have." And then he says, "But what else do I need?" You and I tonight, we have the Lord. What else do we need? We have the Lord. Who else do we need? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You can mark it down. God is fully capable and will supply our needs, those necessities of life. He might not do all of our desires. He may not do all of our longing and lusting after certain things, but He can supply my needs. He can make sure I have plenty to eat. It may not be ribeye steak and baked potato, but I have something to eat. He can pay my bills. He can take care of my necessities. When I have great need, when something unexpectedly happens, God can supply all of those things. I read a story yesterday. It happened here in Kentucky, I believe it was. There was a preacher and his wife. He had resigned his church, and he had moved to another area and had gotten sick and didn't have any means at all to take care of their physical needs as far as the winter time, oil and electricity and things that they needed. They had moved out of this state and moved to a northern state where it's much, much colder. And someone just said something about maybe some preachers could get together and pay the first couple of months' bills so they could get on their feet and have time to do that. And before it was all said and done, they had collected, I think it said, $2,000 or $3,000, enough to take care of the whole year. Now, that's how the Lord works. That's how God supplies. God knows our need, and God knows how He can take care of that. And He always uses His children. He always uses His sheep that He's leading and guiding and directing. So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Number three, and lastly, it says here, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Psalm number 46 and verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Just stop a minute and know who's in control. He maketh me to lie down. The laying down at night is sometimes the hardest thing that some people can do. Sometimes I'm so geared up at the end of the day, I don't want to lay down. I just want to sit up a while. And because if I lay down, I'll just lay there and toss and turn and not go to sleep. So sometimes I just stay up until I fall asleep in my chair. And then I go to bed when I wake up, whatever happens to wake me up. But sometimes we have a problem going to sleep. But here the psalmist says, "He maketh me to lie down." The last part says, "in green pastures." That's the supply that He gives us. Sometimes as we pillow our head at night, we have trouble because maybe we have lost something, or we know someone that has come by a problem of death, and folks that we know. Maybe there's a bad report that comes from the doctor, and that'll keep you certainly awake, and a financial setback, and the list could go on and on and on. It seems as though we can get through the day pretty good because we're active and busy and everything is going along pretty well, but in the quietness and the stillness of the dark night, our minds just continually work. And sometimes we'll wake up in the middle of the night, and I try not to think of anything because I want to go back to sleep. But you let me think of something that I've dwelt on or something needs to be done, then we become active, our thoughts and our ways. And so the Lord can give you peace. The Lord can give you understanding. The Lord is my shepherd, and He will make me to lie down. The history that God gives to us in the Word of God is that which is of people that are broken. From Genesis to Revelation, we see a people of every generation that are broken. You know what breaks them? It's sin. It's sin that tears down that relationship with each other and the relationship with our Lord. And so we have a story of being broken. But sometimes the broken things is what God can use. Many times it's broken things that God has to have in order to be used of the Lord. A horse must be broken before he can be ridden by a man. It has to be broke. His will has to be broken. A young heifer must be broken before she'll allow the milkers to draw milk from her. She has to be broken from that. Saul of Tarsus had to be broken and before he could become the Apostle Paul. He met the Lord and he was broken because of what he had done. Moses had to spend 40 years in the desert before he could go back to Egypt to lead the people of God out because of his killing of that Egyptian man. He had to be broken. Moses' life is divided into 40-year sections. Those first 40 years, there's the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and then that next 40-year period, he's in exile because he killed an Egyptian man. Literally, he murdered an Egyptian man. And he had to be broken there in the wilderness for God to use him for the next 40 years that he could lead Israel out of bondage into the promised land. And so he can make me to lie down in green pastures sometimes after I have been broken by chastisement of the Lord. Those green pastures, that's here in Kentucky, we can think about the tall clover fields in the summertime. And we see the fields that are blooming with the clover, and then all of a sudden they are cut down because of the need of hay for the livestock. And David says, the Lord is going to make me lie down in green pastures. He don't put us in a dusty field. He puts us in green pastures. He didn't put us where we can't get some nourishment. He puts us where he can take care of us. The devil, his ways always give to us dry places. The devil is the king of drought. He's the king of dust. But Luke tells us that in verse number 24 of chapter 11, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, finding none. He saith, I'll return to my house whence I came out. The devil, all he has to offer is dryness, barrenness, and ungodliness. But the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, full of nourishment, full of joy, full of the good things. And then it tells us here that he leadeth me beside still waters. Still waters. Not rushing, angry waters, but still waters. If we lie down in green pastures, that means that shows us that we are nourishing in the good things of God. Then it's time to have a drink. As the shepherd would lead the sheep through the fields of green pasture, they would nourish as they went. You've seen how cows graze and different animals graze as they travel through that day. Well, the sheep would do the same thing, and then it would be time to have a time to have drink or refreshment. And so the shepherd has to take his sheep. He has to give them the food because they can't find it on their own. And they just eat and eat and eat. And then there's a time when he has to take them to the water because they can't find it by themselves. And the Lord is my shepherd, and he makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside still waters. If you'll study the sheep, you'll find that a sheep will not drink water that is running. If it's running down a creek, sheep's not going to drink that. That's just their nature. And so David says here, the Lord's my shepherd, and he knows where to take me where I will drink. He knows where to take me where I can get my refreshment. He takes me beside the still waters. And the refreshing water there that is given to the sheep gives them nourishment and strength that they can now go rest at night and get ready for another day. Psalm number 23 is more than just a verse and more than just a chapter to read at a funeral, even though it fits. Psalm 23 is more than a chapter just to learn and be able to quote, because we can. Psalm 23 is more to read than at the side of a bed, the side of a stricken friend or relatives, even though it works for all that. But Psalm 23 really is to relate to you and I how good our Lord is to us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside still waters. He gives me those different things. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And I have no want. I have no needs. I have no nothing that God cannot supply. And He gives me refreshing, cool, clean water to drink. So there, the real purpose of Psalm 23 is for us to be able to relate. Wow, God loves me. The Lord cares about me. I'm a nobody. I'm the sheep of His pasture, so that means I'm not too smart. I'm not too brilliant. I have a whole lot of things that have to be given to me. And you and I tonight, you know what? We couldn't get up in the morning if God doesn't give us life. If God doesn't give us breath. If God doesn't give us ability to get up tomorrow, we'll not be able to do it. God could touch one little molecule in our brain and we would never again know who we are or where we are. But the Lord's my shepherd, and so He leads me in the still waters, to the still waters. He leads me in the green pastures. And therefore, I do not want. I do not have any necessity that God cannot and will not supply. So Psalm 23, it works everywhere you are. It works in every station of life. It works in every direction that He gives us. But it really works for me to know my God loves me. So therefore, I love Him back. Let's stand together tonight.